Are you a grill master? Are you looking to take your barbecue to the next level? Then you absolutely have to try Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. Y'all, I swear there was no relation here, but I wish there was, because this is some of the best barbecue sauce I've ever had. Originally created by the co-founder of Bojangles and kept in the Cox family for generations, Cox Sauce is a sweet and tangy Carolina Red barbecue sauce that goes great on chicken, ribs, pork, shrimp, and seafood. Just drizzle some on before everything's done, and you'll get that sweet, perfect tang with a touch of heat. Barbecue sauce also makes the best gift since it's kid-friendly and cheaper than whiskey. Head to their website and get a free bottle when you purchase three, or stock your pantry and get 25% off when you order four. That's coxsaucebbqsauce.com. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 120 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And your first week of 2023 is complete, nearing an end. You've made it to the weekend. Ugh. For as good as like mailing it in during the holidays are, it equally stinks getting back into the swing of things this week. And just on top of it, I already miss football. I'm already just in withdrawals. I was, you know, enjoying all the bowl mania and things like that. It kept my brain occupied. And then obviously we had the Gator Bowl and it was like, oh yeah, like working towards a Gamecock game again. Like, yeah, pre-game, post-game, all that jazz. Now it's like, oh man, like it's all about to end. National championship on Monday. Ugh, just sad. Just withdrawals. I'm probably going to say that a couple of times over the next few weeks. So just bear with me. I'm a man in withdrawal here, but going to focus largely, almost exclusively in basketball this episode. But as I like to do, I have a weekly review, recap, updates from around USC Athletics for y'all before I jump into the specifics here. So the only news out of the athletics department is from the football team. Sort of a mixed bag here. Starting with offensive lineman Jalen Nichols. He announced he is returning to school. So now you're getting him back for his final year of eligibility. Some nice veteran presence along that line. And then on the opposite side of that, you have Javon Gwynn announced for the NFL, but he was done with school. He just made a nice formal announcement. So wish him nothing but the best. Javon was a great Gamecock, a stalwart on that line. So I hope he gets drafted. Would love to see him play for a long time on Sundays. And then the big news that dropped late in the week out of the football program is that edge rusher Jordan Birch has decided to enter the transfer portal. And, what? Like, what? I mean, here's a kid who is the second highest recruit in South Carolina history, only behind a guy named Jadeveon Clowney. He's from the area, hometown hero. Starting edge rusher in the SEC, was primed to have a good year, be the featured defensive end for a team that's trying to do some incredible things, yet that's not good enough, and he decides to transfer. Now, obviously, we don't know what's going into the young man's decision, and, you know, I'm all for trying to better your situation and prepare for your future and all that jazz, but this This feels like a money grab, does it not? I mean, this feels like an NIL issue where he's trying to set himself up ahead of going to the league, and whatever it was, South Carolina wasn't able to provide. I don't know if it's a number and whatnot, but this is just kind of getting a little bit sideways here with the portal and NIL and all that jazz. And again, like I've stated it before, like I am for the freedom for these guys and these athletes to make their decisions and have autonomy in their decisions, but it just feels like it's created a perfect storm. So I think there needs to be some guardrails put on in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's bringing back the one-year waiting period for the transfer, so that way it's not guys just jumping ship at the snap of a finger and chasing a bag. I don't know. But this one's a bit of a head-scratcher. I mean, it has to be for money. It just has to be. I don't have his full stat sheet in front of me, but the stat that really stood out is 4.5 sacks in 3 years. So while I'm disappointed to lose Jordan, and he would have been a featured player on defense for us this upcoming season, veteran in a big-time position of need, I think we can find 4.5 sacks elsewhere. I mean, it just is what it is. You know, it was him being from the hometown, second highest recruit, that you wanted him to be a Gamecock. And I wanted to see that huge breakout season for him at South Carolina. It just didn't happen. He improved year over year, flashed greatness, never was really all that consistent. So see ya, Jordan. See ya. We'll hit the portal for your replacement, no problem. So moving on to women's basketball here. Let's get some good news, you know, a little palate cleanser for you. Women's basketball defeated Georgia. This was Monday. They beat UGA 68-51, really in thanks to a big-time second-half effort. The women were actually trailing at the half by a couple of points here, so they were able to make adjustments, tighten up the screws, and really take and maintain and build that lead in the second half. Some player highlights for you. Huge, huge game from Zaya Cook. 31 points. 31 points. She almost had half of the point total for the team. So, I mean, it was a heroic effort from Zaya. The halftime adjustment seemingly was get it to Zaya. She's on fire. And it worked. It worked. Aaliyah Boston wanted to call out this stat line here. 4 points and 5 rebounds. So really not the type of numbers we're used to seeing with Aaliyah. But there's that picture from the game where it's literally 5 defenders on her. And she's got the ball trying to go up with it. So the strategy seemingly so far early in this year is just literally put your entire team on Aaliyah Boston and don't let her get a double-double. She got 5 rebounds still even with that. You know, she's just unstoppable. But this is something to keep an eye out on. Who is going to step up if Boston can't go, right? Zaya Cook is a senior. She's been around the block. It was her time to shine. Now, the women, they have 2 other games this week. The first is against Auburn, which is actually happening right now, as I am recording Thursday night. So what do, Gamecock Nation, when I run into these scenarios? I just put out good vibes, right? Done it a couple of times. We're putting out the good vibes. And hopefully tomorrow, well, really later tonight, I see that they got the W and, you know, it was sending the good vibes there. But their other game this weekend is Sunday afternoon at Mississippi State. So as I'm recording this, Mississippi State's record is 12-3 overall, 1-1 in conference. I say as of now because they also are playing as I'm speaking. But my crow to the game here, it's get that front court going. You know, you need one of the bigs to step up and put up a good game, right? A double-double would be excellent, but someone in double figures, whether it's Boston, Saxon, or Cardozo. One of them needs to step up. Dawn Staley, she was asked about the defense that UGA ran, trying to really just shut down Boston and the bigs. And she spoke to it directly. She said they are a team that can adjust. They can shoot to win if that's the case. But I am a firm believer in that this team was made from the front court out. It's an experienced group. It's a group that should not be limited as they have been. So got to find a way to get that going. Zaya Cook getting 31 points is fantastic. She has all the skills in the world to have a very nice season and average very high. However, not going to get 31 points, right? She had nearly half the total. The rest of the team, it was 4 points here, 5 points there, six. Like, so you have to get someone else going, and I believe it starts with the front court there. Now, moving over to the men's side of things, men's basketball played on this past Tuesday and unfortunately lost to Vanderbilt 84-79 in overtime. Carolina was leading for a large chunk of the second half. Kind of as I expected, it was a close back-and-forth game all night, and it was just late in that second half, Vandy was able to take the lead. And then, I'm sure you guys have seen it, Twitter was blowing up, all that, but it was just an absolute bonkersville scene from South Carolina to force it into overtime. I think it was G.G. Jackson took a three ball and missed, like, you know, going for the win. And then the rebound got kicked out to Mechie, and he missed. But then the rebound went right to Hayden Brown, who just laid it up, and boom, overtime. And then, unfortunately, once overtime came around, they could just not get any offensive rhythm going. Vanderbilt got in a nice rhythm. They got a nice groove late in that second half, and it carried over into overtime. But this is a huge opportunity lost, in my opinion. You know, I mean, we've talked a lot about how this team is going to struggle this year. This team is not that deep. Its star player is a true freshman, and they just haven't been playing under Lamont Paris' system for all that long. And the wins are going to be hard to come by, especially in the SEC. Vanderbilt was a team that I thought we could beat. South Carolina, I think, was like 10-point underdogs. So you were right there. And this is a game that you really would have liked to have won. Would have been three in a row, kicking off your SEC schedule with a W. And it's just because they're not going to come easy this year, period. Especially in league play. And we just have to enjoy the wins as they come. But when you have those opportunities, you have to coach better. You have to play better. The whole team needs to rise up to it. And this was their first test, right? There's probably going to be a couple other ones that are close late in the game. All right. Well, now we've been through that, right? We've grown from that. We've played on the road at Vanderbilt, which, by the way, wherever the hell they play is the stupidest setup I've ever seen. I say it every year, but the benches in the end zones and the fans are far away. Where are they playing? In an airplane hangar? Like, it's ridiculous. Ugh. Nevertheless, now that you've played and lost in an airplane hangar, you should be able to play and win in a normal gym under normal circumstances if it's a close game, my point. Some player highlights here for you. Chico Carter Jr. with the game of his life, 24 points and 6 rebounds. Mechie Johnson with 18 points. G.G. Jackson with 13 points and 7 rebounds. Hayden Brown with 12 points. And this is the crazy thing, because typically this season, when someone else outside of Jackson, Johnson, and Brown, when someone outside of there gets even 10 points, the team has tended to fare well and win. Chico Carter delivers 24, and there just still is not the depth to get it done late. And that's the struggle that this team has this year, and we have to face as fans. It's not going to lessen our support or our love for the Gamecocks. It's just a fact. It's going to be a tough year. But if Chico can play close to that in league play and get stronger as the year goes on, we could be a tough out here and there for sure. Now, the men's next game is Saturday afternoon, 3:30 tip-off at home against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is currently ranked 8th in the country. They are 12-2 overall and 2-0 in conference, and they're pretty damn good. Yeah, they like to score a lot, and they play incredible defense, which that summation has been the Tennessee calling card for a few years now. Who's their coach? Rick Barnes? I think that's his name. But nevertheless, they're off to another great start this year, looking like they have a good team as well. So my crow to the game here is protect the ball. And I say that because Tennessee averages 10 steals per game. 10. So, like, they don't just play good defense. They back it up. They create turnovers, builds up that average. So if you want to have a chance at keeping this close in front of the home crowd, you have to limit the turnovers and protect the ball. So limit the steals, limit the turnovers, maximize each possession, and you see what happens, right? It's a Saturday afternoon, big matchup, should be a decent crowd. We'll see what happens, right? You never know what can happen any given Saturday. We were just talking about 3:30 kickoffs are the best. How about 3:30 tip-offs? Also the best. Love it. But before I wrap up the show here, I have a new segment alert. Bam, 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 bam. You like my sound effects there? It's my new segment alert here. We're going to see how this goes. I'm calling it my three-point play. So similar to my six-pack of picks, this will be three picks from the college basketball weekend that I like. Now, I was doing some research on the lines and things like that, and I wasn't able to get the lines for Saturday. I don't know if that's always going to be the case. So all of these games are on Friday, and I don't know a whole heck of a lot about college basketball outside of South Carolina. So we're going to see how this goes. Maybe fade me. I don't know. But without further ado, the inaugural three-point play, starting with Stanford at Cal. I'll go Stanford -7.5, Akron +2 at Ball State, and Oakland at Northern Kentucky -6.5. Weren't that many great matchups on Friday, so hopefully it gets better as the season goes on. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.